April 2021. Welcome to another episode of Muse News, the BCMA's monthly museum sector news podcast. Each month, we recap some of the latest news, happenings, and announcements from museums, galleries, and heritage organizations across BC and beyond. I'm Lorenda.
And I'm Ryan.
Join us as we explore the latest Muse News.
Sydney Museum and Archives names gallery after longtime executive director. Peter Garnham's long history as executive director of the Sydney Museum and Archives is now forever etched in the museum itself. Family and friends joined local officials, including Sydney Mayor Cliff McNeil-Smith and local MP Elizabeth May, to surprise Garnham on his last official day, unveiling a sandblasted cedar sign bearing his name on the wall of the museum's lower level, now officially called the Peter Garnham Gallery. Garnham is retiring after more than 25 years with the museum, including more than two decades as its executive director, during which he helped move the facility to its current location in the old post office building. As part of this move, Garnham helped to create the society currently running the museum after the town of Sydney ceased to operate it as an internal department. Quote, "The gallery was chosen to be dedicated to Peter Garnham because it was here that the museum got its start at this location," said executive director Alyssa Gerwing. Quote, "As Peter has told me, there was a pile of crates full of artifacts in the middle of this room, with a string of construction lights overhead. From there, the museum grew to the organization that it is today, a well-loved feature of the Saanich Peninsula community, and Peter was its sole employee for more than 15 of his 25 years of service."
Thanks, Ryan. The Revelstoke Museum and Archives saw 30% less visitors in 2020 compared to 2019. In a recent annual report to City Council, curator Kathy English reported attendance was good in July and August, and gift shop sales recovered after the March 16th to June 1st closure due to the COVID restrictions. English, with the help of grant money from the Revelstoke Community Foundation, created virtual programming for residents at Mount Cartier Court when she could no longer go in for visits. While there was time for 16 school visits before they were suspended again in November, English delivered four classroom programs via Zoom. Nine brown bag history talks were given as per usual between November 2019 and March 2020 and have been delivered via Facebook Live and Zoom since then. In September, there was a return to small audiences, however that was suspended again in November. The change of pace has allowed the museum the opportunity to grow their social media presence. All of the videos are posted on YouTube and there were daily posts to Facebook during the closure. One such successful series of posts were This and That, which asked visitors to choose their favorite of two images. Weekly quiz questions were also popular. Museum staff also participated in the Yorkshire Museum's Battle of Curator, which asked participating museums to post their favorite artifacts that matched a weekly theme on Twitter. The museum's website was also updated this year. Though income from admissions and programs was lost, the museum received funding through the Canadian Emergency Wage Subsidy, the BC Museums Association, the Museum's Assistance Program through Heritage Canada, and the Columbia Basin Trust, which allowed them to keep staff employed. The museum expected additional funds in coming years as the Land of Thundering Snow traveling exhibit is completed and now on tour. It's currently in Whistler and scheduled to go to Salmon Arm this summer and Fernie in the fall. Last summer's kids program was canceled for the first time in 20 years. However, English hopes a modified program will be available this year.
BC Truck Museum keeps running behind the scenes. Though the doors may be closed to the outside because of COVID-19 restrictions, the BC Vintage Truck Museum remains active inside. Quote, "In a way, the pandemic has been a blessing in disguise," says Museum Vice President Noelle Cleveland. "We have a lot more free time to get caught up and get the trucks in better shape. We've probably increased the number of trucks that are running. Selected volunteers will come in and each guy has a partner to work with that they've been working with since the start of the pandemic." Like other attractions across Canada, the museum, located in Surrey's Cloverdale suburb, shut its doors to the public in March 2020. It opened for 4 months in July, but closed to the public once again in November. As positive as the experiences have been behind the scenes, Cleveland knows the temporary closures come at a price. Quote, "This pandemic has hurt us pretty badly," he says. "People forget about you because of the pandemic. But as soon as we get our okay to open up, we'll start trying to advertise and get things in." Since opening in 2012, the BC Vintage Truck Museum has welcomed more than 20,000 visitors from 33 countries. The nonprofit association that supports the collection has logged more than 60,000 volunteer hours and counting.
Recently, scientists found a 40-year-old treasure hidden in a drawer of the insect collection at the Beattie Biodiversity Museum at UBC. Only 3 millimeters in length, this darling dung beetle was first collected in Killeen National Park in 1979. Then, 38 years later, a bug team from the Beattie Biodiversity Museum collected two more specimens during the Parks Canada BioBlitz in 2017. This exciting discovery highlights the importance of caring for natural history collections over the long term, as well as continuing to document the natural world around us by conducting surveys and adding voucher specimens to these collections whenever possible. This darling dung beetle has finally been properly introduced to the scientific community at large.
Renowned Kittanny artwork returned to Vernon. The Kittanny Cultural Center Society is excited to announce that Saviva Kittanny's iconic life work, Recapitulation, has returned to Vernon permanently. The series, which includes more than 50 unique watercolor paintings documenting Kittanny's life story and outlook on life, has been under the care of the Alberta Foundation for the Arts, AFA, in Edmonton for close to 35 years. The AFA shipped the painting to the late artist's childhood home in Vernon, which now serves as the Kittanny Cultural Center, on March 19th. It is the intention that they will now be displayed to the community that Kittanny loved. This summer, the Kittanny Center is offering tours of Saviva's artwork, along with Kittanny family artifacts and memorabilia, for the first time since the house was donated to the Greater Vernon community in 1994.
Finding history in library books is easy, but turning the page to find a century-old heirloom is much more rare. That's made Michelle Harvey thankful that a fellow library patron spotted a vintage photo of her grandfather as a child and turned it into the local branch. Last week, the North Okanagan branches of the Okanagan Regional Library Service used social media to post a black and white antique photo of a toddler dressed in white with knee socks, shiny shoes, and holding a cricket ball. Thomas Francis Tip Harvey, July 7th, 1914, reads the handwritten note on the back of the photo. This sweet photo was found in a library book borrowed from our Vernon branch. We would love to be able to give it back to its owner, its Facebook post said. The Okanagan Regional Library told CBC News the photo was found by a patron who checked out the same book immediately after Harvey. No information about that patron has been disclosed for privacy reasons. Harvey, currently living in Kelowna, says she was shocked to see the baby photo of her grandfather that she'd forgotten about. I was just so happy, and it's the type of thing I didn't even realize was missing, Harvey told Sarah Penton, the host of Radio West. I felt such a sense of relief and gratitude that the library had reached out and tried to find the owner, Harvey said, adding it would have been a big loss for her family if this piece of her grandfather's legacy had been lost. The photo is just such a great reminder of the importance of my granddad and those family connections, she said. He was a man who did not have a lot. He was always so generous and so kind, and I need that photo to help us tell his story so my kids realize how wonderful he was. Tip Harvey was born in Toronto on July 7, 1914, to parents from the United Kingdom. They traveled back to England with the infant and took the photo of him when he was around 2 years old. The grown-up Harvey relocated from England to British Columbia in 1955. He passed away in Kelowna on March 7, 1990. The library has offered to send the photo to one of its Kelowna's branches for Harvey to pick up.
BC City gives Ogopogo copyright to First Nation. The city of Vernon, BC has given up the copyright to a legendary creature's name and transferred it to the Sioux Nation, following criticism of cultural appropriation from Indigenous communities. Last Monday, the City Council passed a motion by a 4-3 vote to relinquish the right of assigning who can use the name of Ogopogo. The copyright was given to the city in July 1956 from the previous copyright holder, A.G. Seabrook. The name Ogopogo is a word derived from the Sioux language, pronounced Nahaha Niko, meaning something from the water, according to Chief Byron Lewis of the Okanagan Indian Band, one of several communities of the Sioux Nation in BC. Lewis says that the legendary animal is believed to inhabit Okanagan Lake. Quote, for someone else to say that I can actually own that Ogopogo name through my laws is cultural appropriation, Lewis said on CBC's Daybreak South.
The Vancouver Art Gallery has just announced that it has received a $1 million gift from artist Gordon Smith and a matching donation of another $1 million from Stephen and Gail Jaroslawski and the Jaroslawski Foundation. The extraordinary generosity of Gordon and Marion Smith and Stephen and Gail Jaroslawski through their foundations is incredibly moving, said the Vancouver Art Gallery CEO and director Anthony Hundell in a news release. The funds will not only help our amazing team at the gallery carry out the important work of providing enriching art experiences, but they will also serve as an inspiration for others. It's important to keep the name of Gordon alive, said Stephen Jaroslawski, and it is an honor for Gail and myself to participate in recognizing his artistic genius as well as the nobility of the man himself. Gordon's work was ever vibrant and his new inventions time after time, culminating finally in the last and greatest chef d'oeuvre of his 100-year-long life. Gordon ever assured us the best was yet to come, Jaroslawski added. He kept his word. He was a great artist of British Columbia, and one of our greatest joys in life was our friendship over so many years. With this new endowment fund, the Vancouver Art Gallery also announced the creation of a new curatorial position, Curator of Canadian Art, and plans to post the position immediately.
rare collection of historical Arctic photographs digitized. Nearly 200 historical photos of the Canadian Arctic are now available online for the first time. Taken by the late photographer George Hunter between 1946 and the 1990s, the photos include scenes of peoples from at least 13 communities across Nunavut, the Northwest Territories, and Manitoba. The significance of Hunter's photographic work comes from the intimacy of his subjects, according to Nepasi Folger, an Inuk comic writer and contributing editor at Inuit Art Quarterly, in an article accompanying the online gallery. Quote, "Photographing people in their natural state is a skill only good photographers can possess," she said. Quote, "Hunter was able to show a foreign audience the modernity and adaptability of Inuit, rather than pandering to the idea of static tribalism. Considered one of Canada's greatest photographers, Hunter spent his life traveling across the country, including the Arctic, documenting industrial life, landscapes, and Canada's cultural diversity."
In the same way, we look back on the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, comparing, for instances, our face masks to theirs, future generations may one day wonder how British Columbians fared during the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. To that end, curators at the Exploration Place Museum in Prince George, BC, have been gathering items specific to the pandemic, things like hand sanitizers and masks, as a way of preserving this moment for future generations to study. COVID is having an impact worldwide. There's no question it's having an impact in Northern BC, Museum CEO Tracy Caladero said. 100 years from now, some of future directors will actually have immediate first personal artifacts and images to work from when they try to tell this story. It's not just day-to-day items that we've become accustomed to that the curators are after, but also things that could only exist in a pandemic world. Souvenirs of events that never happened, proof of our shift to doing everything online, and memorabilia to honor of BC's provincial health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry. The curators have requested empty vaccine vials and boxes from Northern Health and are looking for photographs and decorations from drive-by graduations and birthdays. It's those things that might just look like a beat-up pan, but when you bring it to us and tell us that every night you and your 7-year-old beat on this drum to encourage frontline workers, that makes that pot suddenly really important to the story that we're telling, Caladero said. The museum doesn't have plans to display the exhibit yet, but hopes to display it once the pandemic ends. Thanks, Ryan, and over to you.
Thanks, Lorenda. Join us next month for another exciting edition of Muse News.